One Tennessee lawmaker called it the atomic bomb of politics. He was referring to something that hasn't happened in 200 years, a constitutional convention. Tennessee became the fifth state where lawmakers voted to open up the country's founding documents and make a few tweaks or go even further. WPLN's Chaz Sisk has been following the burgeoning movement for a constitutional convention and is here to share some insights. Hello, Chaz.
Hey, Blake.
All right, before we get into the mechanics of how a constitutional convention might actually occur, take us to the final vote in the Tennessee House. Who pushed this through?
Well, the sponsor in the House is State Representative Sheila Butt. She's a Republican out of Columbia, Tennessee, and she believes that a constitutional convention is needed to rebalance the power between the federal government and the states. So let's take a listen to what she said in her closing arguments here.
States created the federal government, not the other way around. The power rests in the people and in the states. We have lost that power with a massive, out-of-control federal government.
This is not an idea that Representative Butt came up with on her own. She's been working with people in the Senate. But also, this is something that's a bit of a national movement. It's been written about on conservative websites for a while. Groups like the American Legislative Exchange Council have put out a primer to lawmakers around the country. And there's actually an organization called the Convention of the States, and it's founded by a prominent Tea Party figure named Mark Meckler. They held a conference about a year or so ago where they called lawmakers from around the country together to talk about a convention of the states, and one of those was Representative Butt.
So this is being led by, you know, Tea Party conservatives. Seems pretty obvious Democrats are going to be opposed. Did they try to stand in the way?
Yeah, they did. And their concern is about representation at a constitutional convention, not just of Democrats, but of people of color. Think back to what Representative Butt said. She really argues that what's needed is a rebalancing of power between the federal government and the states. And this is something that some representatives, like Representative Johnny Shaw, he's an African-American from Bolivar, he doesn't agree with. He says that the federal government has been a protector of African-Americans. He pointed out that the state of Tennessee at one time denied his father his voting rights, and it took the federal government stepping in to restore those rights. Here he is mixing it up with Sheila Butt a bit.
And what I hear you saying is that you trust the federal government more than you trust the states and the state legislatures. And this is simply an amendment to give the state legislatures a voice.
Well, first of all, I mean, the people who are in Washington, for the most part, I didn't send them there, number one. But in terms of who I trust, I don't know which one I trust the most.
But, you know, it's not just Democrats who are against this. There are a number of Tea Party lawmakers who are against this. Tea Party legislators, they really venerate the Constitution. And for a lot of them, the idea of reopening the Constitution is just a step too far. Here's Terry Lynn Weaver. She's a Republican from Smith County. She doesn't talk a lot in the state legislature. That's something that she herself said on the floor last week. But she felt like this is something she needed to speak out on.
We have no guidelines. We have no definites. We have no parameters. We're all going on the assumption that everybody's going to be good actors. SGR 67 will likely expand the power of the federal government and present a new one, which to me is the ultimate Trojan horse.
Okay, Chaz, I think now we need our civics lesson, okay? What exactly happens during a constitutional convention? Because, you know, Weaver seems to think it could be much more than just putting a balanced budget amendment or something on the books.
Well, you know, this is really uncharted waters. We have not had a constitutional convention since 1787 when lawmakers gathered in Philadelphia to fix up the Articles of Confederation. And what they came out with is the Constitution that we have today. And because this is so uncharted, a lot of people think that, even supporters, that it may not ever come to pass. At the beginning there, you know, you referred to the atomic bomb of politics, which is something that Representative Matheny, Jeb Matheny of Tullahoma, said on the floor. The thing about an atomic bomb is you don't always have to use an atomic bomb. Just the threat of it can sometimes force other people to do what you want. Matheny argues that it will force Congress to propose things like a balanced budget amendment if a constitutional convention is called for by enough states. If it were to go to a constitutional convention, supporters argue that anything that comes out of it, it has to go back to the states for ratification. So if there were a very extreme idea, 13 states could veto it, essentially, because you need 38 to ratify. But, you know, crazy things have happened before with the Constitution. Prohibition had questionable support, but it actually, once it got rolling, there was very little to stop it.
So Tennessee, the fifth state to pass this, you'd need 34 to hop on board to really make a constitutional convention happen. Is that plausible?
Well, you know, it does still seem very unlikely. But you do have a group out there that is very organized and pushing for this. And it's also a presidential election year, and they've gotten themselves involved in the presidential campaign. Marco Rubio has said he supports a convention of the states. John Kasich has said he supports it to an extent. You know, these are some interesting times. You never know what could happen.
Well, thank you for the update, Chaz.
My pleasure.
Chaz Sis covers politics and the state capitol for WPLN. I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.